listening to Beer Talk Today with your hosts Kyle Brown, Matt Lang, and John Nadler.
I'm Kyle Brown here with my co-host Matt Lang and John Nadler. How are you boys doing?
The three of us are back.
All back on this gorgeous Saturday afternoon. For those of you who are listening to our show last year, you know that we are talking all about beer and food. We had Bill Anderson from Fromagination and Rob Grisham from the Brasserie V, both of them talking about it. And today it's all us out here talking to you exactly all about beer and food. So part two of the saga. First off, why we're talking about beer and food, besides the obvious reason this is Beer Talk Today.
Yes.
Not Wine Talk Today.
Right.
Because beer is better. the unbiased opinion of myself. But beer, one great thing about beer is it is effervescent. It has the carbonation, something you don't get from wine, with the exception of champagne, but that's just an exception. And that effervescence really allows for more aromatics to come out from the beer, and so you are able to get a lot more flavors. Plus, it does work really well with cleaning the palate. On top of that, there's many more styles of beer. There's a much wider and broader ingredient list that goes into beer. It comes from a much wider range in the world, and therefore, more ingredients, more styles means you can get much more complex flavors. Also one thing, from the book, he said beer, she said wine. Sam, excuse me, Calhoun, he says, wine culture is daunting and exclusive, while beer is enticing and inclusive. And this just kind of goes with the whole, common culture that we have with wine, that wine is kind of a fancy, snooty little drink where beer can be drank anywhere. And I think that's good in beer's regard because you really can drink a beer in a much more casual and open environment. And also, beer can go with anything because of that. You can have a beer on, you know, in a bar on a Tuesday afternoon where a wine might be a little...
intense.
Yeah, intense, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things, other things Sam points out is, you know, wine has three ingredients, grapes, yeast, and water. And well, beer traditionally has four ingredients, you know, malt and hops added into that. There's tons of different variations of the way malt is prepared, and there are beers that are made with all sorts of different things, spices, wheat, rye, obviously, all sorts of different stuff. And so when you think about just the vast array of different kinds of foods that you can eat, pairing food with wine becomes a lot easier when you think of all the many different varieties and styles and types of beer that are out there.
And, you know, to credit wine, they do a lot of different things with different types of grapes and how they grow in temperatures, but
there's a reason that people traditionally think of pairing food and wine. I mean, it doesn't come from nowhere, but...
They're uneducated.
Right, well,
I'm just kidding.
We just think beer is better.
Well, and, you know, also if you think about it, people think of what's, you know, really fancy, great food. People would say, oh, French cuisine, and, you know, they have really good wine.
Spanish cuisine, Italian cuisine.
They have really bad beer.
Yeah. So, well, with the exception of Beer de Garde. But that's almost Belgium.
And then again, that's an exception. So,
yes, it is.
You know, it's so there's that. And also, another great thing about beer is it's traditionally half the alcohol content of wine. So if you want to sit down and have a five-course meal and you have five glasses of wine with that, you're going to be pretty sloshed by the end. And a great thing about beer is, you know, depending on the alcohol content, you can have several more beers. Even just for the social environment aspect, you can be drinking more beer. But also, you're allowed to have several different types of beer without overpowering yourself on alcohol.
Absolutely.
Word.
And so, how do you pair beer and food? I just wanted to do a quick little overview of some different factors. And before we dive into our thoughts on beer and food pairings, I just wanted to point out that, of course, everyone's taste buds are different, and there's just sort of guidelines. You know, we've been doing a lot of reading of some experts, and we're all, you know, reasonably knowledgeable about this ourselves. You know, John over here is quite a big chef nowadays, and he knows a lot about beer and food pairings. But this is just our taste, and everyone's taste buds are different, so these are just sort of guidelines. But the two key factors, if you're looking to pair a specific type of beer with a specific type of food, that you really need to look at are the intensity of the beer and then, of course, the flavor. And by intensity, I just sort of mean the beer's strength and its impression on your palate. For example, if you're having a light beer, like a Pilsner, that would be considered very low intensity beer, whereas on the opposite end would be like something like an Imperial Stout or a barley wine. It would be very high intensity. And you need to make sure that the intensity of the food is paired up pretty evenly with that of the beer. You don't want a really light beer with a very flavorful food, because then the beer is going to taste like nothing, and vice versa. You don't want an intense beer that'll overwhelm a really light dish. And so once you get that established, of course, you need to go on to the much more interesting and also much more subjective flavor component. You know, like we said before, beers can be spicy, they can be malty, they can be bitter, sweet, dry, fruity, have roasted flavors, chocolate flavors, smoky flavors, and the list just goes on and on. And this variation makes for wide possibility of pairings, but also makes pairing very difficult. So two sort of approaches you can take to pairing the flavor of food with the flavor of beer is you can either try and find flavors that really harmonize and sort of match the flavor of the dish, or you can try something that provides kind of a contrast with the flavors of the food. For example, let's say you wanted to pair something with simple dessert, cherry pie. One thing you could do is you could try and find a beer that has those flavors, like a beer brewed with cherries, like a Belgian Creek, or a Lakefront's cherry lager is another one. Or you could go the opposite direction and try and contrast that flavor. And a good one to do that would be the dry roasted flavors of a nice dry stout. That roasted profile kind of really resembles coffee, and you think about how much people drink coffee when they eat dessert. Well, there's a reason for that. Those roasty flavors, although you wouldn't think of a stout really as tasting like a pie, obviously, it's sort of it has a good contrast that people really think about when they think about dessert.
Well, you know, on that, I think that's a really good point of the two ways to look at it. You either contrast or you kind of align your tastes. Me particularly, I like the contrast. I like the two to really hit. Especially, I think, as you mentioned, that cherry dessert, I think, you know,
stout would be better.
Yeah, well, I feel that sometimes if you have too much of the same, the really high notes of each part kind of get lost in the other. So,
But it's also more difficult to do. It's a lot easier to say, oh, this tastes like, you know, this has a spicy note. I should get a spicy food with it.
It's a lot easier to do that.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think oftentimes the contrast is better. So we're kind of going to do now is go through a bunch of different types of food and give our thoughts on different pairings that that you can do. Starting off with, which we talked about last week with Bill from Fromagination, beer and cheese. These are two foods. Yeah, yum, exactly. Two foods that have very similar histories and sort of similar processes. You know, both are fermented and aged and can be artisanal, handcrafted, or mass-produced. Cheese is considered by many experts, even some wine experts, to actually pair better with beer than with wine. And Kyle kind of talked about this with the effervescence of beer really helps, because cheeses are very oily, and the oil in the mouth can really overpower wine's flavors, whereas beer, the carbonation can really cut through that. There's a few pointers that I'm going to borrow here from Lucy Saunders, who is the woman who runs when they have beer and cheese pairings at Fromagination. She's also written a book, The Best of American Beer and Food, Pairing and Cooking with Craft Beer. But she suggests pairing delicate beers with young, fresh cheeses, pairing malty beers with nutty, aged cheeses, pairing highly hopped, bitter beers with tart, sharp cheeses, especially cheddars, and pairing strong, sweet beers with blue cheeses. And so to get into some more specifics, these ones that we like, Brie cheese, I think, goes really, really well with fruit beers, especially a Creek or a beer like the New Glarus Belgian Red, something like that. If you're going for a Gorgonzola or a blue cheese, I really like Belgian Trappist beers, like Dubbel or Trappel. I think those go really well. If you're doing an aged sharp cheddar, this is just about my favorite thing in the world if you haven't tried it. An aged sharp cheddar with an IPA is just about the best food and beer pairing I've come across, because it really the hoppiness that IPA can really cut through the sharp cheddar notes. And then Kyle's favorite is Gouda. What do you like with Gouda?
I love Gouda. I love all types of Gouda.
Right now you really like it with soda.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I haven't been, as you all know, I haven't been, well, maybe not all, my listeners know that I am on a 1 month beer ban, so I've been drinking it with soda. But yeah, Gouda, I've always liked it with something with a little bit of a malty profile, something nutty sometimes. So I usually go with a nut brown ale. I really like the way that contrasts, and it also holds up really well if it is a smoked Gouda.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Or props.
The one I've actually have not tried, though, that you mentioned was with the brie and doing kind of fruit beers. Mm-hmm. And that just sounds like such a good combination, because brie is, that's a pretty heavy, thick cheese, too.
Well, sure.
I think brie is kind of like classically paired, at least in the culinary side, with fruits.
Absolutely.
In general, like you, mm-hmm. like we're at Notchspiel, they had the apple and brie pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like brie, like raspberry and brie, it's just kind of a classic combination.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that can be played off of, like, the texture of brie is kind of soft and savory, so you get, like, this sweetness of a fruit to come through.
And it's a really thick, creamy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that.
I suppose, really, especially the ones that you listed off, you know, like New Glarus's fruit beers.
Yeah, I've never actually tried that, but I think that would be delicious.
But, I mean, the beers, in a sense, they do have that sweetness, but they do have that sharp tartness to them, too, mm-hmm. which helps to cut and contrast in those ways, so. That's one I have not tried.
Yeah, maybe she'll get some after this. Try that out. Yeah.
Sounds good.
I think that another one, like the blue cheese and the gorgonzolas, you know, I think that, in my opinion, those seem like they need to be paired with, like, a IPA or something more spiced, because, like, the cheese is just so intense. And,
right.
Like, you really need something to cut through. And you think of, like, when you use those cheeses in food, like, if you use them on a salad, a lot of times you'll have, like, a pretty strong vinaigrette to go with it, or, like,
right.
like a fruit, so something that's, like, crisp and refreshing. So you get, like, a spiced APA or, like, a hoppier IPA, which I think could really stand up to, you know, like, aged, like, soft cheeses like that.
I think that would also be good.
All right, well, moving from cheese, which I really should point out is a meal in itself right there, but one of my favorite categories is just your overall pub classic, something you're going to find, you know, in your daily restaurant or pub that, you know, you can get every day, but you never really thought about pairing it. You maybe just are going to grab a beer, but a few things that beer can really bring out, and the first is the American classic, the cheeseburger. A really good burger, you know, a thick slab of ground beef. It's going to have some fat in it, so it's not dried out. And because it's going to have that higher amount of fat, you're going to want a beer with a little bit more alcohol to help cut through that. Probably also to help cut through some of the big slabs of cheddar cheese you're hopefully getting on that burger as well. So a beer that also has some good color and flavor to it, probably a little bit maltier. The beers I would suggest is either like an amber or brown, or like a dark Munich lager, something that has, you know, some of those malt profiles to keep up with it, but also something that has a little bit of hops to it, just that so it can, you know, again, help cut through, especially if there's that cheddar cheese. If you have a hop profile in there, you're going to help to have a little contrast with that. Going on from there, a great Wisconsin classic is the fish and chips. This is, you know, every Friday fish fry.
Mm-hmm.
And because fish and chips kind of does come from England, the English pale ale was something I thought of pairing it. But any pale ale in general, nothing too intense. You know, fish and chips is a pretty straightforward meal, so something like that would help come through. Depending on where you're going to be eating, if it's a little bit higher in the fat content due to the breading, you might want to bump up the alcohol a little bit higher on that one. Moving on, a really light sandwich excuse me, is the BLT, but there is still a little bit of bacon in there, so you get your meat. But a great beer with this is going to, and this time we're going to be going with similar styles, so a lighter beer such as a Czech Pilsner or a Saison would be really nice, and you're also going to get a little bit of a spice characteristics from these beer to go nicely with the sandwich. Moving from that, there's pizza. Another great classic here.
Which I think we're all craving right now.
We are craving pizza right now. A lot, actually, now that you mention
it. It's tough doing a show about beer and food. Yeah, I'm getting really hungry. I'm sure everyone out there is too, hopefully.
You know, the cheese pizza, and I'm not talking Jack's frozen pizza out of the freezer section, but
you could.
You could, but, you know, a great fresh cheese pizza, fresh spices and tomatoes, and, you know, an IPA works really well. Again, Matt had mentioned, you know, a good cheese and IPA works really well. But also, the hops from the IPA goes really nice with some of the herbs that you're going to have in a pizza and with the fresh tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Consider it like the choice you would use instead of basil and tomatoes. Hop and basil, kind of like that. And then when you start to doctor up your pizza with meats such as sausage or pepperoni, a nice brown ale, again, for that. Something that's a little bit maltier and sweeter to help contrast with the spiciness and heaviness from the meat. Reuben, I thought right away rye, because most Rubens are on rye. So because, you know, they're essentially made from the same ingredient, they'd be a nice pairing. Also, a spiced ale. John, I think you were talking about that one.
With the Reuben.
With a Reuben, yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember why.
Yeah.
Oh, because Reuben's like the, what was it?
Sauerkraut.
Like the sauerkraut and...
And Thousand Island, you know, dressing.
The dressing and like the roast beef. And they're all like, there's a lot of these like robust spices going on. So I think that, you know, like a spiced APA would kind of have like the crisp, like refreshingness to it that would really kind of like... help refresh your palate after it's been overwhelmed so much.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, a Reuben is a pretty intensive flavored sandwich.
Yeah, it's pretty hearty.
So.
Yeah, definitely. I think that'd be good.
Yeah, and then the last sandwich that, you know, you tend to find a lot in a restaurant or pub is going to be any sort of club sandwich, whether it's, you know, the generic club or a turkey, ham club, whatever it's going to be.
You're looking
Subway
for something
club.
That pairs well with a frilly.
A Subway club, yeah, I guess.
It's really good.
I've never found their beer section at Subway.
No, they should expand
it. I think
it's
in the back next to the chips.
I think so.
Right behind the Sun Chips.
Yeah, I think so. Then you grab it yourself.
But with that, you know, it's a fresh, cold sandwich, and that's going to go really nice with a Maibach, because, again, a Maibach is kind of a fresh beer in its sense, so still pairing it.
And spring beer. It's malty, but it's not too heavy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fortunately, that's somewhat of a seasonal beer, so only go to Subway in the spring.
I don't know. Trader Joe's might tell you club sandwiches are seasonal.
That's true. They might.
I'm just curious, like, what would pair best with the frilly toothpick, though?
It's a good question.
Those woody, you know, those overtones.
Yeah, good question. Well, I think now we're going to take a little break from the beer and food talk and go to our weekly favorite segment, News in 60 Seconds.
That's right, everyone. This week, John.
Did I get it last week?
Last week.
I hit it on the dot.
You hit it on the dot.
That was 52 seconds.
Was, okay, I was pretty amazed. John, looking at your news load, what are you going to aim for?
63 seconds.
Wow.
I'll just go 60, actually.
60, all right.
I need to shave that 3 off.
All right. All right, John, are you ready?
Yes.
And your mark, get set. Go.
All right, Sierra Nevada is doing a second release of their Fresh Hop Harvest Ale, which features their Chico Estate hops. Next up, Rogue is set to release their Yellow Snow IPA in 5-liter keg cans. Should be delicious. Next up, 12 beer barrels or 2,000 pint glasses of beer showed up at the Queen of England's private estate, the Windsor Castle, on Wednesday. The Queen was quite pleased, but unfortunately the beer was redelivered to the appropriate location, the Windsor Castle Pub. Let's see. According to the Associated Press, many craft breweries are beginning to grow their own hops to combat shortages and price hikes. The National Clonal Germplasm Repository also intends to stockpile wild and uncommon hop plants. Actually, a lot more wild and uncommon hop plants than they had previously. And lastly, tomorrow ends Kyle's prohibition. So everyone have a drink for Kyle.
John, you...
55 seconds.
Yeah, you hit that in 55. Pretty good.
Out.
And yes.
You cut some of those short, I think. Man. That's,
that's all I wrote down.
All right, well, good.
Probably the most important news. My beer prohibition.
It's pretty big news.
Ends
pretty
tomorrow.
News. It does.
You should probably explain why there's a prohibition.
Well, yeah, you know, as we've said on the show, I'm due to some health issues. I'm on a one-month ban from alcohol, but tomorrow, cutting through that red tape, and... Also, as you may have heard on the show, I've started growing a beard to match my month of prohibition, and I have never been more excited to shave in my life.
Yeah,
so
it's pretty grizzly over
it
there.
It is. I make Grizzly Adams look like a child.
Yeah, basically. Basically. Yeah, I think there's a couple of those that sort of connected together. Sierra Nevada releasing their harvest, which I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, John, had previously been something that they just... did kind of at site, and it was just sort of small batches, and then now they've expanded, and this is the second time they've released it commercially. Is that accurate?
I believe so. I mean, it's the Fresh Hop is a series of beers.
Yeah.
This is the second one from their own estate.
From their own estate hops.
Right.
And that goes right with the other story about
growing
lots of people are doing it. Yeah, it's kind of expanding.
But you know, in the Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of hops are grown out there already.
Right.
So for them, it's not that big of a deal, but you know, hops now are going to start being grown in South Dakota and, you know, like the Midwest and the East. And I guess we'll kind of see what happens to the hops and how well they grow in these
how
areas.
They do, yeah.
So,
Yeah, and that's something there historically had been hops in New York and I believe in Wisconsin as well. And then there's some sort of blight that came through and took them out. And that's why it sort of became just the Northwest. It was like the hop center. But yeah, there's a new hop farm out in Cross Plains.
Okay.
Yeah. We've been talking to our cohort Jeff over at Madison Beer Review. But
yeah, and I had mentioned last week, I think, in beer news, you can actually buy fresh Cascade hops now at the farmer's market. There's like the, you know, the pasta stand kind of off like the King Street corner. They do fresh pasta, and I guess, yeah, they're doing hops now. So I think, yeah, it is going to be more common to see, in general, like small farms and, you know, craft breweries growing more hops for their, like, locale.
Yeah.
For their neighbors, as it may.
Yeah.
I actually got a little bit of a kick out of the missed delivery to the Queen of England.
The Queen's
pretty good.
The Windsor Pub or
yeah,
the Windsor
Castle. I would love to have been there to see that old lady look out to barrels of delicious beer.
12 barrels. Wonder what did it say what brewery it was or no? It didn't say what they were. Maybe it was a mix and match.
Yeah. No, the 12 barrels they were originally supposed to be going to the Windsor Castle Pub because you know there's a huge football event going on over there right now and. So all these barrels were supposed to be delivered to this bar in time because they were expecting huge crowds, and they ended up being 3 hours late. So,
Whoops.
Well, you know those football fans.
Might be for the best, yeah. I've seen those football fans with a few pints in them.
And they probably brought their own as well.
Yeah, they probably. Maybe they got in more fights because they were angry that there wasn't beer. Maybe.
Probably.
You know, it's just a mix-up like that that makes me makes me wish my apartment was named, like, Maduro Estates instead of Spring Apartments, because I would not care if a few extra barrels of Bells showed up at my steps.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, that'd be pretty nice.
If you're listening, please make a wrong delivery.
And then the only other story was the, the Rogue, which I think is cool, because, you know, 5-liter keg cans are cool, and it's unfortunate that there's not that many good ones out there yet, but they're starting to show up. You know, Bell's has released a couple.
Bell's has done it, yeah.
Rogue's doing it now. And,
Hacker Shore? Was it Hacker Shore that does some of them?
Paulaner has
Paulaner,
one.
That Paulaner. Was it. Paulaner does a few.
So those of you out there that bought the Heineken keg dispensing system.
Yeah, the home bartender.
You're in luck.
The home bartender for $300. For 5-liter keg cans.
Well, and what was the germ suppository station.
Oh, yeah.
That was already currently been going on, and now they're just increasing it to include more. Is that what you were saying?
Oh, so, well, are you talking about the National Clonal Germplasm Repository?
That's the one.
Yeah. Well, actually, they're getting, it's been an organization for a while. They do, like, mint and pear trees and, like, all these different crops that are potentially in danger. And now that hop plants are becoming, like, more and more in danger, because, you know, more popular hops, hop growers are switching over to growing more popular hops for larger breweries and other...
High alpha hops.
Yeah, high alpha hops. So a lot of the, like, this organization, they've just had a lot more pressure to keep samples of rare hop plants.
Oh, so just the plants, the strains that aren't being planted as much, just to ensure that if we ever want them in the future...
Right.
Prevent extinction.
So we can have like a Jurassic Park type thing in like 200 years when we bring back the old hops.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I think it's good work to make sure that these varieties stay around. I think,
For sure.
It's always good.